Our gospel story for today out of Mark is apropos after a night that we had last night in this area and surrounding areas. Nights like last night, storms that came through like last night, often remind me of my good friend Brett. Brett was a seminary colleague of mine, a fellow Presbyterian minister. Brett hails from Southern California. Brett is also a bit of an imposing man. He's about 6'3" and approaching, if not over, 400 pounds. Played offensive line in high school and in college as well. Not necessarily someone you want to meet in a dark alley if you don't know him. But there's something about thunderstorms that makes Brett a little bit different than you might think. To give you a little context, Brett, of course, comes from California. So Brett is used to earthquakes. I don't know about you, but if the ground starts to move, I'm not happy. But he regaled us at times with stories of his experiences with earthquakes growing up, told us one in particular that came in the middle of the night, and he woke up just in time to catch the stereo that was on the shelf above his bed before it hit him in the head. And then he put it calmly on the ground and went back to sleep. That doesn't work well for me. If the ground is shaking, I'm not happy. Thunderstorms, though, I'm used to. Thunderstorms, Brett was not used to. Still isn't, really. He came from California. We met in Louisville, Kentucky. There are plenty of thunderstorms, and at times, tornadoes, and plenty of tornado warnings and watches in Louisville, Kentucky, and in that area. And thunderstorms, well, they turned Brett into a quivering little girl. I remember one time in particular, after we caught on to the fact that he really didn't like thunderstorms and especially was afraid of tornadoes and flooding, that we had a very heavy thunderstorm the one night. We were sitting on one side of campus. It wasn't a very big campus, but we were living in the apartment complex on one side. Brett, who was single at the time, was living in a dorm on the other side of campus. And almost at the same time, Ashley and I looked at each other and said, "Should we call Brett?" So I picked up the phone and I called Brett and he answered. And I said, "Brett, how you doing?" He said, "I'm okay." I said, "Brett, would you like to come over to our place?" He's like, "You don't mind?" I said, "No." So I hopped in the car and I drove over to try to stay as dry as possible. I picked Brett up and brought him to our place, and he seemed to calm down a little bit until after the storms passed. So Brett's pretty afraid of thunderstorms. So my guess is that if he had been on this boat that the disciples were on with Jesus, it wouldn't have gone so well for Brett. You see, the Sea of Galilee was and still is a foreboding place because of storms like the one that Mark writes about here in the fourth chapter. In fact, that lake is notorious for its storms that form without much, if any, warning at all, and then ultimately churn the sea into a frenzy. As one writer has described it, even when the sky is perfectly clear, it is not unusual to see terrible squalls hurl themselves upon the waters, which are usually so calm. The winds from the high places surrounding Galilee are caught and compressed in such a way that rushing with tremendous force through narrow ravines and then being suddenly released, they agitate this little lake in the most frightful fashion. And to this day, the car parks on the western shore have signs warning drivers of what happens when there are high winds. And so what began as a simple trip when Jesus said, "Let us go across to the other side," well, it quickly became a harrowing adventure. For a great gale arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. Now, I have spent precious little time in boats, but I know enough to know that if the boat is being swamped, then you're in a spot of trouble. And even more so, I would assume, if the vessel is a vessel in first century Palestine. The disciples and those in the boats accompanying them were understandably frantic in this storm. Some of them were fishermen, and so they knew firsthand the power and the fury of the sea. They had doubtless lost friends and family members to storms like this, or even less. To them, this was a very real life or death situation. And all the while, Jesus was asleep in the stern. Those of us who are fathers here today can relate, perhaps, able to sleep through anything, right, honey? But I digress. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" the disciples cry out. "Do something," is the implied plea here. "We've seen you heal the sick and cast out demons. Surely you can save us from this." How many times have we joined in on that chorus? with the waves crashing over our boats, more water than we can bail out in time, sinking, drowning, dying. Ferguson, Baltimore, and Charleston, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Save us. Take this away. How can you sleep at a time like this? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. Speaking just three words, he ends it all. And there was a dead calm. Just like that, the danger is gone, and the threat of death flees, foreshadowing, perhaps. We can imagine the sense of relief mixed with awe that the disciples must have felt in that moment, saved to live another day. But then, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And Jesus has some words of rebuke for them as well. The storm is not the only one who he instructs. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Rhetorical questions here, to be sure. Now, if you've spent time with me in Bible study, you know how fascinated I am by the language of Scripture, and especially the original languages of Scripture, Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New. Well, this is one of those places where something is lost in translation for us, something of import. For when Jesus asked the disciples, "Why are you afraid?" the Greek word used here for fear, for afraid, well, it's not the word most commonly used for fear, the one that most of us would recognize, phobos, the root of the word phobia. Instead, the word here is delos. Ti deloi heste, he asks. Why are you afraid? You see, delos has less to do with carnal, visceral fear, phobos kind of fear, and more to do with the fear we experience when we lose confidence or trust. So in effect, what Jesus is asking here is, where is your confidence? Where is your trust? I am here. God is here. Yet you are terrified and accuse me of not caring. Have you still no faith? For it was faith that allowed Jesus to sleep while the storm raged on around him, while the winds howled, while the waves crashed over the sides of the boat, and while the disciples ran about frantic and afraid. For Jesus' faith allowed him to have the confidence that the disciples lacked, the confidence that God was in control and that God would care for them, the confidence that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And specifically the love of God that was in the one who lay asleep in the stern. Jesus could sleep through it all because he was not afraid. Not of the storm, not of the wind or the waves, not even of death itself. And what he longed for and still longs for is for his disciples to have but a fraction of that faith and confidence. The faith and confidence that provide great peace, even in the midst of the fury of a storm. In the wake of what took place this week in Charleston, South Carolina, and what has taken place over the last months in places like Ferguson, Missouri, and our own beloved Baltimore, and the suffering of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in Nepal, and most recently in the Dominican Republic, and far too many more places to name. Well, it starts to feel like we're in a small boat that is sinking in a storm. And further, like the one who has the power to stop it, to fix it all, like that one is asleep in the stern. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Our cries go out like those 2,000 years before, and honestly, every day since. And from time to time, for reasons we may never understand, he emerges. Peace, be still. And the wind ceases, and there is a dead calm. Not every time, but sometimes. And surely we know there will be more storms. There always are. Each one seemingly worse and more threatening than the last. But in that moment, in the calm after the storm, his challenge hits home. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And it cuts. It cuts to the quick. And we too are left frozen in awe, in holy fear even. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, we know who this is. This is the very Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, we are still amazed. And so the winds still howl, angry voices from all sides, some justified, some driven by hate and even more fear. And the waves crash over the boat, lives that are lost, communities shattered, and discrimination abounding. And our Lord sleeps. Not because he doesn't care. Indeed, no one cares more. But because he knows. He knows what we struggle to know and what we struggle to believe in the dark and in the chaos. That even then, death is powerless. That the grave stands empty to the sky. That even if we should die, we will not perish. And in that, the greatest truth of all, there is peace and there is hope. Peace and hope that allow us to rest even in the midst of darkness and despair. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Of course he cares. He cares so much that what he wants for us and from us is not simply the relief and peace that come when the storm has passed. But what he wants is the peace and assurance that can come even in the very midst of the storm, that come only as a gift from God and only to those who put their trust in God. And so the call shall come once more. Let us cross to the other side. And we will go. For we know that no matter what storms may come, we need not fear. Because we go with the one whom even the winds and the seas obey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.